Interesting.
So after the herring egg, we normally go after seaweed. And I expect that pretty soon they're going to put a regulation that's going to restrict us to how much seaweed we can get once there's a commercial market for the seaweed. And also during this period of time, we would normally jig for halibut. But now, as you know, I don't know if we have to yet or not, but we'll probably have to get permits to even go and jig for halibut to dry. And then later on in June, we'll begin getting sockeyes that we put up. And sockeye salmon has been the staple of a Haida diet since there were Haidas and salmon. But now, in order to get a few sockeyes, I have to get a permit to get 10 sockeyes, 10 per person. I'm not too sure the regulation has changed. And also the hunting regulations. When we're hungry, we went out and we got deer. Hungry, we went for fish. But now, with all these other regulations, we have lost virtually everything. The land is in jeopardy of being lost. In fact, I would say it is lost. It's gone from us now because of this Claim Settlement Act. Most people aren't aware that if I were to go out and sell my shares of stock of Haida Corporation today, I can do it because of a law that permits a 12-year holdback. In other words, I can sell it today, but I have 12 years in which to hand it over to whomever buys it from me. And so that transaction is not recorded until the transfer occurs. So it's very possible that many of our people have already sold their shares of stock. But even then, I own 100 shares of stock in Haida Corporation, but that does not mean that I own a bloody thing. All I have is a piece of paper that entitles me to whatever percentage share of the assets of that company if it were to be liquidated. I don't own a chair, I don't own a pencil, I don't own a teaspoon of dirt. I can't even cut a tree on Haida Corporation land because I don't own it. The company does. You know, we might even go further and say the bank owns it. So in effect, when I say they settled with us, they didn't settle anything. All they did was settled with themselves. They made our lands available to themselves. If it were set up in a different way, my recommendation would be to, I'm also working with the Council of the Haida Nation over in Canada, and also writing the Constitution.
Because they have that money sitting there. They did the same thing in Heidelberg, therefore we ran short 15,000 acres and had to pick outside the withdrawn area. Although we did prove possessory rights, and I'll come to that later, I have all the documents here that's written down on possessory rights that the Haidas were required, and the Thinkers along with us, required to prove in court of our possessory rights. Many of the things that came about there were attested to by older people. They said, we picked seaweed, we picked fish eggs by the ton, hung them up in trees, and we had put up our food and everything like that. And because of that hearing we had under Judge Hanna, possessory rights, we were given the right to vote on a reservation, not on the fact that we prove possessory rights, but on the law under the IRA, which gives power to the Department of Interior to set up new reservations. We were given 110,000 acres, as Woodrow Morrison mentioned, and when we went into court against the canned salmon industry, who were actual dictators of the territory at that time, we lost the case as far as the appellate court.
But we have no way of responding to those impacts other than depending on who is in the administration or who would be sensitive and an active voice in the situation. I used that quote at the beginning, and I guess I'm trying to say that we're coming to know the system, but the system isn't the. We wouldn't make an apartment house in Anchorage, say, and some people are surprised that a person working for a village of the size of Heidelberg should have to work full time. They feel it would be a part-time job. It's not there. We have to go to the state, or we have to go to Clinkett and Haida. It's not local control, and it's not self-government. And I guess because the area is so rich, is that a lot of people would not want us to have that control. I was going to say that as a footnote to what Woody was saying earlier about the creation of Heidelberg, and I just thought I'd add this one little note here that it hasn't always been a straightforward world that we've been contending with as the people of Heidelberg have come to know. I had an opportunity to go to the National Archives in Washington, D.C. last February, and I was able to copy a few letters, but some of them I didn't have time to copy because you can only copy 40 sheets a day or something like that. So I just hand wrote some notes. And this is from a letter from Mr. W.T. Lopp, Chief of the Alaska Division, Seattle, to Mr. W.G. Beatty, District Superintendent of Schools, Southeast Alaska, October 12, 1911.
And also to try to focus on the IRA issue that was just beginning to emerge at the time, because there's a great deal of resistance to change on the part of political organizations that have developed their own bureaucracy, which the Clinkett and Haida Center Council has managed to do over a number of years. As a matter of fact, if I may say so, many of the employees that went over and formed the Clinkett and Haida Center Council were former BIA employees or are former BIA employees. So we are dealing with, in many cases, the same attitudes that prevailed in the Bureau of Indian Affairs prior to the formation of the Central Council. And in the past, the Central Council has made attempts to have themselves designated as the sole and supreme governing body of the Clinkett and Haida Indian tribes, and there was not, as far as I can remember, any positive testimony from any village representatives at the hearings that were held here by Senator Stevens and Senator, I think, Gravel at that time.
You said that Sean C. Has distributed 1.5 acres, I think that's under ANILCA, to all of its shareholders. How many shareholders does it have?
And so the only thing I'm trying to do here is, yesterday I made statements that that we're going to have to get rid of the corporations, we're going to have to get rid of the whole system. But what I'm discussing here is, if we are saddled with this thing, here are some of the things that maybe the law provides. I also made
Could I just interrupt you for a minute? Just returning to the case of the Pueblos, apart from the solicitor who expressed his view at informally at a meeting held by the AFN last year, no court has decided that the Pueblos precedent does not apply in Alaska.
No. Also, I've cited the Passamaquoddy case for the reason being that we have no treaty with the United States government. No. However, the Non-Intercourse Act supposedly sets the terms of the guardianship.
The mention of the Indians in Alaska who will be subject to such laws as Congress shall pass from time to time to those Indians of that land says that we are entitled to all the reservation laws that have been passed in the state. And in this ordinance of this year, especially on both decisions, the Indians down there that were not what they call
treaty signers have reservations themselves, and the main law that's in the Bakunin case in the Supreme Court is where the natives were getting their food and fish from their accustomed places. Now, we experienced that up here through the same fact when we were fishing for the canneries, and we brought in a load of fish, they would ask us where to live. They want to know